at the Harbor Master's office,
as we always do,
at Gloucester, Massachusetts. Beautiful Gloucester, Massachusetts.
That's it. Yep.
We have Chris McCarthy with us.
Good morning.
We have Becky at Adakwa.
Hello.
That's what all her fans know her as.
It's her Facebook page, Becky Adakwa.
Becky Adakwa. Yeah, she's like Cher
and
Madonna. Becky Adakwa.
Becky Adakwa.
Yeah. And we have Gloucester Harbor Master TJ Shimataro with an E.
With an E.
Mine's with an I, his is with an E. Yeah, and we're here to talk about a whole bunch of awesomeness. Because, yeah, I mean, sure, there's a lot of good happening right here. And for us, it starts right here in Gloucester. But Becky is, the awesomeness that she's involved with is all over the United States? Or is it international yet?
Well, we're international in the sense that if someone has a U.S. Banking account, they can be on Adakwa. So if we have a couple marinas, Scrub Island in the British Virgin Islands, like one or two in like Panama for sure. Yeah. So we're outside the U.S., but we're from Maine down to Scrub Island. We're out in the Pacific Northwest and California.
So can you explain for people, because we keep mentioning Adakwa, but for my viewers, probably 95% of them, maybe 98% of them, don't know what Adakwa is. Chris and I discovered Adakwa a couple weeks ago. We mentioned it on the podcast, how fantastic it was. You responded because you were tagged in the... How did you find out that we talked about you on the podcast?
Yeah, so you guys mentioned Adakwa in like the show notes or something, and that pops up in my Google Alerts. And then I went and watched the show and...
And now you are. You came up from Newport, Rhode Island to talk to us.
Yeah.
So explain how Adakwa got started and the premise behind it.
Sure. How it got started was our CEO, Mike Malillo, he spent a lot of time growing up in Newport and was back in Newport and kind of watching boats circle the harbor and started kind of asking one of the dock hands, now one of our account managers, Trip Messinger, about why boats couldn't find dockage and just was like, there's got to be a better way, right? So that's where some of these great ideas come from, and started Adakwa 5 years ago almost, and the app launched about 4 years ago. What it is basically any boater now throughout the U.S. can download the free app, or we also have the website, adakwa.com. You create your free profile. There's no annual fee or cost to sign up, and there's no markup on anything the marina is going to charge you. So if you were to call the marina, it should always be the same price as what you would see on Adakwa. And so you can reserve slips and moorings right through the app. And once you put in a reservation request to the marina, they get it right on their phone. You can be a marina manager standing on the dock and intercept this. And then once you even put in the request, you can chat the marina manager right there or their staff. And it's
through
a nice
app.
Way. Through the app, yeah.
I downloaded the app and I did, and I'll add this into the show notes, the little video of a screen capture of downloading the app and actually going through and using the filters on the app. I pulled up Gloucester, Massachusetts, and so it's very similar for me to Airbnb in that you can really narrow down what amenities that you like want to have. And it'll just show you, oh, I definitely want a place that has a washer, dryer. I definitely want a place that has a restaurant. Or I definitely want, you know, XYZ. There's a bunch of different parameters that you can input. Mm-hmm. And instead of like pulling your hair out trying to figure it out, it just puts the information right in front of you. And so I'm going to direct this at Chris, who is new to Gloucester. Only last year, he grew up like a landlocked city.
Yeah.
Has a boat, but how much more likely are you to travel on your boat to a harbor that you don't really know much about, given that you have this information that the Adakwa app affords you?
Highly likely.
Highly likely.
Yeah.
As opposed to before, where you're like, I don't really, in my mind, like, I have a boat, but I'm like, I don't know if we go up to Portsmouth, if I go to Portland, wherever, and I don't really know if I have a slip and some weather comes in,
right.
I'm not taking that trip.
Right.
Sure. But like, I know that I have safe harbor.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my Manchester experience is a perfect example because I think it's fairly new in Manchester Harbor because mm-hmm. last year I would always go into the harbor and just hope that there was space available. Yeah. So your description earlier about, you know, driving around waiting for the boaters to come back down and move their boat, I was pleasantly surprised because they did their dock all over as well. It's much larger. And I didn't realize that they had gone to the dock wash system until I got back on my boat and the harbor master came up to me, or the dock master came up to me and said, excuse me, did you pay for your spot? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because, I mean, last year it was free. And he goes, well, no, we're on the dock wash system. And I had heard about DACWA, but I didn't have it on my phone. Uh-huh. So I downloaded it right there. He helped me actually download it.
Yeah, that's
great. Very pleasant, and I paid for my 1 hour, $8, and you know I will use it many more times now, knowing how it works and the benefits that come along. Like Joe said, I can now look at my phone and say, okay, if I want to go to Marblehead Harbor, if I want to go back to Manchester, I can check availability in advance, which makes my day much more pleasant than just driving around saying, geez. You know, we can't find a spot, hoping to get a spot. So it's a no-brainer for boaters who do like to venture out and find, you know, other places to dock up.
Yeah.
So TJ, the city of Gloucester, you found value in this, and you thought it was worthwhile to implement.
Sure. So when I came on board, I think I first learned about DACWA when I did a boat delivery for somebody. I wasn't even the harbor master here yet, and I think I had learned about DACWA then, and then really liked the application, the user experience of it. And when I came on board here, we had the city of Gloucester had an archaic program of doing transient moorings. So we went from boaters calling and leaving messages if you can't get a hold of somebody to trying to return calls, and then penciling them into a book. And then when the boater came to Gloucester, we had to send somebody out and collect the money from them, cash or a check, because there was no way to take a credit card. And then you had to, you know, come back with the money or make change, and then move them from the book to the board to check them in. And that kind of all went away with DACWA. Now you can reserve online. We generally have a pretty good return rate as far as time that we respond back to the boater, depending on the circumstance, if it's a holiday or something like that, or if we're really busy. But we're under 2 hours.
So you get we're going to call you a marina.
Sure,
your municipal marina,
yeah,
we'll say.
Correct.
You have software that gives you an alert?
Correct. So we have software that gives us an alert. Each boat or patrol boat or the dock master has a cell phone. We get a text message alert to the cell phone. We also get an email alert to certain computers that are for the people that are dealing with our transient moorings. We have just under 30 transient moorings that are on DACWA system. And we get an alert. We, you know, verify the boater's information, make sure we have a space available. All of our moorings are specified for a certain length of vessel. So if we have, you know, a 40-foot boat that comes in and we don't have a 40-foot mooring, we'll waitlist them or you know, ultimately decline them, or we have a spot available for them and we assign them and send them a chat and tell them that, you know, where they're assigned. And pretty recently, in the last couple of years, we've amended the city ordinance, and now the launch service is included with their transient mooring reservation. So when a boater comes in, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week, Memorial Day to roughly 2 weeks after Labor Day, they rent a mooring from the city. We have a 26-foot Duffy launch service that takes them in and off to shore to the public landing that's new out here. So overall experience is really good.
Yeah.
And we've seen a massive increase in transient boating revenue and just people coming to visit the Port of Gloucester from the DACWA's application. So it's been
roughly what kind of an increase?
It's about 230% year from 2016 till now.
Just
so
a little bit.
That is outrageous.
You know, there's a bunch of factors that go in with that, but definitely DACWA is a huge, you know, reason on why we've had such success with that for a variety of reasons. It kind of auto advertises. So when you go on to DACWA.com and you type in, you know, I want to go to Cape Ann Marina or Salem or Manchester, who's now on there, and they don't have space availability, I believe it tells you the next closest available or other areas that have space available.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one aspect of it. Two, you guys have done a good job with partnering with marinas.com, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So you, she can speak to that a little further. But marinas.com is almost like the Yelp of boating.
Okay.
So, you know, just like you go to a restaurant and you had a good experience or a bad experience, you sometimes leave a review. Well, this automatically asks you after you stayed, and it verifies you, kind of like Amazon when you buy something, that you're like a verified purchaser.
Yeah.
Did you actually stay there, and how was your experience? And we have, you know, I'm proud to say with the help of Docwa and the staff and the entire city, we have 4.8 stars for Gloucester, which is up considerably from where it was in 2015. So, I think we went from 0.8 to 4.8. So it's really good. It's well received. People use it. And I will say another thing, that it's definitely gotten much more popular, because I always ask people when they call, because we still have people that call that are used to the old system and might not have visited the port in the last couple of years. And I'm like, are you familiar with Docwa.com? And that started off 3 years ago as going about 30% saying we're familiar with it, to almost, I would say, 90% of the people are like, oh yeah, Docwa, no problem. I have the app. I'll put in the reservation right now. So you're definitely, the visibility has widely expanded.
Talk about efficiency. How efficient that is.
Efficient.
For how much stress does that take off of your office?
A ton. It's night and day. Our guys can be focused on other things, patrolling, you know, boating safety, enforcement on the water, general overall customer service experience. We do something else too when boaters come in. Our launch operators, since the launch is included, most people, I'd say 95% of boaters that use Docwa and reserve a mooring, use the launch service, and they get a welcome aboard package for Gloucester. We partnered up with Discover Gloucester, Elizabeth from the Destination Marketing Organization. We have a port, VIP port package that she's done a lot of work with, as far as there's coupons in there to restaurants, lodging facilities, maps. You get a little pen with the Harbor Masters, you know, office and phone number on it. So as a marketing as a whole, definitely Docwa has helped us expand tremendously. I can't even tell you how much it's helped save time and efficiency in this office, for sure. So.
That's so great. I mean, and kudos to your whole team, though, too, because, I mean, like, with Docwa, we sometimes will get the feedback on the app of, like, oh, my wait time here was 24 hours, you know, something like that. It really comes down to, like, when each marina having that response time, being diligent at responding to chats, like, that that can definitely, like, you know, people responding to the marinas.com.
Well, knowing that there's accountability in that, in the way of their ratings go, that just makes it just like Uber, right? Like a regular cab may be a smelly mess and there's no accountability.
Sure.
But an Uber, you get in it, the driver gets rated on the cleanliness of the car, you know, whatever it happens to be. And generally you get into an Uber and it's a pretty good experience, right?
Correct.
And you can see that ahead of time before you accept that ride with that guy or that woman, whoever it happens, the driver.
Sure.
You know that, oh, there's a 5-star, 4.5-star thing there. I feel comfortable getting into to this Uber, right?
It definitely helps us to have teams like that get it, that are on it. They get how technology is going to help them and help.
Well, it's very simple. If they don't get it, they're going to sink. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Gloucester 5-6 years ago was, they can't accommodate you, don't stop there.
Yeah.
Literally, on Active Captain, on marinas.com, in the Coast Pilot, various other Sail New England, various other publications. So since I've come on board in this team that I have here now, we've really tried to focus on making Gloucester a welcoming port and a place where people can come visit. It's the oldest port in the country.
Yeah.
People want to stop here. We spoke
with Jill Cahill, Community Development Director, yesterday, and Mayor Safathia yesterday, and the theme, and you said it too when we were speaking earlier, it's a culture of yes. And this is the changes that are happening in this city, is like, let's try to find a way to make this happen rather than just say no right off the bat and try to extort people. Let's, you know, that are trying to do fun, good things here.
Sure.
Let's be accommodating and let's try to, you know, maybe it won't work.
Right.
And this is what you said. Maybe it won't work, but let's try to make it work.
Yeah, let's try to make it work.
Yeah.
I like to, this office, we try to say yes. We can't always say yes. Just the nature of the business, but we try to find the yes.
Yeah.
So
was it tough getting the town? Like, you learned about Docwa and you brought it to the town. How was that?
So, no, it was well received. There was, it took us a little while to roll it out. the state of Massachusetts in general procurement laws pertaining to taking credit cards and procurement of services and goods or whatever are need to be updated. And I believe the governor, his office is actually dealing with that now, trying to update these procurement things. So getting the city to take credit cards, City of Gloucester never really took credit cards before this. Mm-hmm. They have now, we're taking them for all of our regular moorings and a bunch of other things, and the city's taking them for building permits and stuff. But it was a little bit of a process. I met with your people with Tripp and Matt, I believe, and they came down here, and we met with the treasurer and figured out how we're going to do this and Stripe payments and so on and so forth. So, but once we got it set up, it's awesome. The requisition, and like every week when we verify the purchases that came through with the treasurer's receipts and so on and so forth, is pretty seamless. So you guys have definitely done a good job making that easy for municipalities. It's much easier for privately owned businesses to do that than it is for local government. Mm-hmm. Businesses, harbor master's offices, or any municipal marinas that are run by a town, just because the procurement laws. But you guys got it ironed out, and we've had it for 3 years now, and I preach it. It's that's saved awesome. Us a ton of work.
Yeah,
and I work a lot with the boater side of things at DAPA, and so for boaters watching, when we talk about allowing not only like allowing more marinas, harbors to take credit cards, which is pretty nice. If you want to pay cash, you actually can still do that. That sure. is kind of within the last 6 months, you can pay cash, and they can log it in the app on their side. But then also the thing about credit cards is that it's the top level of encryption. So your personal information, like when you create your profile in the DAQUA app, which is free, you put in your boat LOA, your depth, all that stuff, and your personal information, your credit card information, and both sides of that, personal and the credit, are completely encrypted. So I can't see it, no one can see it, and your stuff is safe. Whereas we've gone into a lot of marinas and seen, credit cards written, credit card numbers written on people. They say, oh no, don't worry, we have a password protected in an Excel file on our desktop, and we're like, oh god,
don't tell anyone. That's
secure. So it's nice to see systems getting upgraded.
Totally.
So Becky, why don't you go through what a boater can do once they download the DAQUA app, and we'll put a link in the show notes to directly go to download the app, and it's available not just on iPhones, it's available on Android as well.
That's right. And you can also download the app and play around with it. You don't have to create a profile to, go around and kick the tires, but creating your profile is free. So you download the app, and the first thing you'll see is it'll probably ask you to allow it to see your location, and that's to be able to provide you the marinas closest to you or the harbors closest to you to browse. So if you're kind of just want to take a look at who's on the site this way, you can see and click in quickly to view a harbor. You can see.
And you get their star review rating.
You get their star review rating right through marinas.com. And you can see which is verified. And marinas are allowed to respond to those reviews for free. So if someone's in there and they have a complaint that's addressable.
Which we've done before.
I've
responded. If you go on our profile, you'll see that I've responded, taking care of certain situations. Sometimes they're out of our control, but we'll still try to make the experience somewhat positive.
It's so good to see that dialogue. And so you can also just to give kind of the layout of the profile too, you can see photos right away. You can scroll through and see for probably 95% of the marinas will have aerial photos in there and a marina map. And then you see the star ratings right away, and you'll be able to go in and view those down below a little bit. Once you create your profile, so here you can say, okay, LOA, draft, arrival, departure.
Thank you. Bring it just a little. That's good. Yep.
There you go.
There you go.
So there you're plugging in your boat information, and it will give you, and your arrival departure dates, it'll give you a price estimate right away. This is before tax, but it'll give you that estimate. Once you create your profile, you never have to do this part again. And that's the same. I mean, obviously, you don't have to call over VHF and give that information over and over again for any of these marinas either. So you can go ahead and, once you have that info in, request the reservation right away. Or if you want to keep learning more about the marina, you can go in and see the marina map. You can see the address right here, which will open in either Google Maps or Apple Maps. And then the services.
Oh, that'll open in Google. So if you're on the water and you press Google Maps, it could probably navigate to it.
It'll open up and show where the location is.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can click in and see services right here, gas, diesel, water, or electric, and then amenities. So we're looking at Constitution Marina in Boston right now. Amenities, you have floating docks, you have is there a restaurant on site, is there laundry, medical facilities within 5 miles, And then you get into the review part, which is always fun to see what people had to say about their experience.
Well, I found it cool because when I got it. I don't own a boat, but I do own a dock. But I was just checking out. I thought it was just interesting for me just to check out what all the different places are charging in town and what they offer. Sure. Like, you know, yeah. What is Cape Air Marina? How much is that a night? Oh, and I plugged in the parameters. Like tonight, I did like basically tonight to tomorrow to see. There's a marina right across from me, the Pier 7, right?
Yeah.
And they're on it.
Eunice is on it.
Yeah. So it's a
Pier 7 Marina.
There's a lot, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't own a boat, it's kind of interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
One thing
I always like to mention, because we do have some boaters, there's a lot of like boaters that have been doing this for a long time, and you come in and you're trying to change the way they do things, and not everyone loves it. And so people are, you know, I like calling the marina. The phone number for the marina is right here. They can always enter on their end as well. So if you're someone who wants to keep doing things the way you've been doing them.
I would say like 5% of our reservations still do that.
Really?
Really? Yeah, there's some old school boaters out there that cannot be bothered, which is fine. Give us a call. We'll build your reservation. And generally, we still take the credit card over the phone.
Yeah.
So
can you fax in a reservation?
No. We actually got rid of our fax line about 2 years ago. So. You can scan an email.
What is that?
And then we do also have the VHF right on here. So as you're pulling in, like if you're, you know, you don't know what your slip assignment is, if they didn't, you know, some marinas will chat the slip assignment proactively, or, and you can
do that. We set the mooring assignment.
Nice.
Slips, but
And you can also, I mean, chat is for any, once you put that request in and you say, hey, I'm cruising with this boat over here. They're my buddies. Can I be close to them?
Oh,
you say, hey, I'm with this,
this
yacht
club.
Yacht clubs do that all the time.
Yeah. And yacht clubs will, everyone will say, this is my yacht club cruise. And so you guys can be closer together. You can also say like, hey, we have, you know, someone with an injury on board. Can we have starboard side tie up? Because this is the where the, you know.
It's nice that, so wait, yacht clubs,
they cruise together.
If you're not a member of the yacht club, you can still moor there?
No. So like certain yacht clubs will do cruises together.
On the boater side, they'll get, every yacht club really will put together like a week in the beginning of the season or mid-season, and they'll kind of have a little caravan going together around all the marinas. But we do have many yacht clubs on Dakwa as well using us.
Anisquam yacht clubs on there.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Vicky, I'm on your app now, and I see arrival and departure time, and I'm sure somewhere on the app it explains the time of the arrival and when you have to depart.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of like a hotel?
It's per marina. That's
specific
marina.
Okay.
Yeah, one thing boaters really like about it is that like we're not trying to take over for the marina and dictate policy. Like their cancellation policy, that's still the whatever the marina decides, and same with arrival departure.
Right.
I noticed for Cape Air Marina it was very similar to a hotel. Like it was, and don't quote me, this could be wrong, but I want to say it was like. You can't get there until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and 11 o'clock in the morning you have to depart.
That was an example.
How
we're 11. We're 11.
Yeah.
So Gloucester Municipal Moorings.
Oh, it's 11. Gloucester's 11.
Yeah, 11 a.m.
Right.
11 a.m. You can check in. 11 p.m. You got to depart, or 11 a.m. You got to depart. So.
And there are some marinas that are even trying to max it out, where like if you just want to come in for a day trip and you don't want to stay overnight, we'd still just need you to leave at 6 p.m. so that these kind of end of day arrivals can still take their mooring.
Yeah, we do that too. So,
My boat is on a mud mooring, and I know you probably have a lot of listeners listening who probably are like me and are on a mud mooring. So the only reason I bring it up is because the other way in which I can see myself using Dakwa is if I know I'm going to be out, I want to be out the entire day and the tides don't work for me. I mean, I can get, you know, I can sign up for a mooring, you know, right out here in the harbor so that I can leave my boat here at night and then bring it back to my mud
mooring. Go out for dinner.
And then
come back and get it the next day.
Right, so it helps me manage the tides. I can see it.
Look at you. You just got a new pitch. Dakwa.
There you go. I'm trademarking that.
You're hired.
I get a dollar for every boat that's on a mud mooring.
She didn't say yes.
And that was actually my pitch to TJ to hopefully get a deep water mooring at some point in the next 20 years.
Before we get off track, I wanted to mention, we talked about this yesterday, and you said, I'd like to do a little event to talk to people locally. And we got you in touch not with Tobin from Cape Ann Marina, but with Rebecca, who's basically the events coordinator there. And she said she's very accommodating. Tonight, you tell me what's happening tonight at Mile Marker.
Yeah, so for any boaters listening, if you're in the area, tonight, 5 to 7 p.m., I'm going to head over to Mile Marker and open a tab, and first round is on me. So just come find me, say hello, jot down your email, and we'll give you a drink ticket and just and talk shop about Dakwa. And I mean, talk shop about how people boat. We always like to learn about how people boat on our Facebook page today, too.
And I'm sure Joe will too, so we'll try to get some people over there tonight.
That is
awesome. The sun's going to break out here soon, I think. So
it's going to be a great day.
Blue sky right behind you.
Yeah, definitely.
Blue sky.
We always just like to show up, roll in, and buy a couple beers. And
sweet.
Love it.
Yeah.
One last question for you, and you can chime in on anything else. But we talked about the boater side. From what can a marina owner do once they partner up?
Oh my gosh. So we help.
Okay, and the reason I say this is because I own a dock, but I'm not looking to do this. But what I'm saying is.
Yeah.
No, because my lobster won't freak out. They're thinking that I want to, bounce them out of there.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I know our fishing industry has contracted quite a bit in this city, and there are a lot of spaces that are underutilized right now. What are the parameters for you being able to offer your slip on for Dakwa?
Sure. So I mean, I should also clarify, Dakwa started off as just transient. Like, we focused on the transient side of boating, and we have since also built in long-term slip management, and dry storage is something that came out, I think, in January. And so if it's on the water, we can do short-term or long-term slip management as well. And then if it's something that's a little more inland, like this property that's sitting right near the harbor, then
there's so much growth here. I'm telling you, there's so much growth. I put it in my post today. I want to invest, and if I can invest right, because in 5 years when this thing goes like monstrous, I want to be on record so I could just pump my chest out and say, I knew. I was that smart. But if I don't get any money invested, though, it's all for naught. But anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
So we're not just transients anymore, and we're working on a way to kind of like build out that marketplace so the boaters can more easily find long-term dockage as well and storage. So all of these marinas, you get all this free software that TJ's looking at right now, where you can intercept requests, you can, kind of manage which docks you have on file, and you don't have to make all of them available. Most marinas do, but if you want to kind of just hold some back because you know like a larger group is coming in, that kind of thing. Like, there's so much flexibility in the marina management side of this, and we are running demos all day every day. So if anyone wants to get in touch, it's just dockwa.com/demo. And we'll get someone on the phone with you like that week, and you can learn more about it.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. Trip's great. Shout out to Trip. He always gets right back to me like instantly. He's spot on. So,
I'm telling you, I love this team.
He's good.
Yeah.
There you go. So now we're gonna focus on TJ a little bit here, because we are very pleased with the direction that this city is going under your stewardship of the harbor. One of my first questions is, why do you think there was a lot of people that applied for this job as harbor master?
Sure.
Was it 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah.
How many people applied?
I think it was somewhere in the vicinity of 20 to 24 people, maybe.
What do you think the qualities were that made you be the person that they selected?
I thought we were getting softballs here.
He's turning all red.
No, that's fine.
He's already pretty tan, but he's getting a little pink flush right there.
So,
you want a tan harbor master.
Yeah. I'm doing the job.
Yeah, I like my job.
So I'm also a recreational boater. I have a boat. I boat all the time, so I get it. I get both aspects of it.
Yeah.
So I think that's one quality. I'm not just the harbor master and I sit here and look at all the recreational boaters. When I'm not here and I have any free time, I'm recreationally boating myself. So I get what the needs are. I was born in Gloucester. I moved to Maine when I was 9, went in the service at 18, was in the Coast Guard for 11 years, active duty, had been coming back to Gloucester in the summertime, saw the potential that this place had. During my interview process, I just laid out what my vision of Gloucester Harbor would be, realizing the economic challenges of reduce fishing in the port, and you know, I would never advocate to displace any commercial fishermen for recreational boating. But I know that there can be a cohesiveness,
right?
In that we need to do that. We need to shift. It's never going to be 1950 here again. It's just that's just the sad truth of it. But in the same token, we do have a fishing heritage. This is the oldest fishing port in the United States, and we want to maintain that heritage. But we also want to bring in new growth, new economic development, new tourism. Recreational boating, I think, is $115 billion a year industry, and I think the taxpayers and the people of Gloucester deserve to have a port that they can be proud of and have people come and visit the oldest port in the United States. So,
I just want to mention, Steve Douglas just chimed in on the Facebook live feed.
Yeah.
And he said, TJ has vision and an ability to work with people.
Well, thanks, positively. Steve. I appreciate that. Yeah, there you go. That's great.
Across both aisles.
Yeah, across, you know, and we do a little bit of everything here. We do all the maritime law enforcement 90B stuff. We do tourism. We are in hospitality. We do regular moorings, transient moorings with Dockwell. We do a variety of different things, a lot of permitting. So it's we wear a lot of hats in this office, and I kind of just laid out a vision. And apparently the board that hired me and the mayor really liked what I had to say, and now here I am 3 years later, so...
Can you go through a typical day?
Typical day, it could be different every day. Yeah. So
how about the day I walked in?
Okay. Yeah.
Chris. So Chris, why don't you go first? Say first your experience, and then we'll have TJ's perspective of the same.
Yeah, so I've only been in boating for like 3 years, so sure. You know, I'm still new to a lot of this stuff. And I asked Joe. I said, "So how do I go about getting a mooring?" He's like, well, you got to apply, blah, blah, blah.
Get on the wait list, but you are a waterfront property owner.
No, I just meant a mooring in general, whether it was deep water or a mud mooring. And he's like, you got to go to the harbor master's office. And I'm like, oh, God. I said, you know, harbor master's office, are you serious? So I procrastinated and finally decided, okay, it's time for me to go in and do whatever I have to.
Sure.
And I'm like, this is going to be... crazy, and I'm gonna come in and it's gonna
they're
be
gonna tell me it's 5 years.
Yeah. 5 years, give me, you know, 30 documents to fill out. And I met TJ and his team, and it was one of the most pleasant experiences that I've had.
That's great.
Overall customer service experience.
Wow.
They were pleasant, they listened, that they were very accommodating, and I got a mooring much quicker and easier than I thought I was going to be able to. Again, a mud mooring.
There is still a wait list for all of our mooring areas.
Right,
Chris is a waterfront property owner with deeded access to low water. That's a disclaimer.
Yes,
he's every right to get a mud mooring. Exactly. We made it happen for him in a timely manner.
Right, exactly.
Put that out there.
I had to bring my deed in.
Sure, it was all the other.
Actually, the funny thing is, I came in and TJ's like, because I didn't know I was going to be able to get it as quickly as I did. He's like, well, do you have your deed? I'm like, no, I thought there was going to be, again, a lot of red tape and documents, and I'm down the street. So I ran home to get my deed and, came back.
Wow.
And
we made it happen.
So it was a
great
experience.
We'll get everyone out on the water, you know.
Yeah.
Get everyone
so
in.
Thank you for
that. Yeah, culture, no, appreciate yes. it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Culture, yes.
So from your perspective, how did this whole thing go?
No, it was good. it was good. Generally for that kind of stuff, I'll like have somebody take an appointment. I had a little bit of time that day, but you know, the general day to day, it's different every day. That's why I love this job. That's why I love being in the Coast Guard or being in the service. Job's different every day. Typically, I'll come in here in the morning right out the gate, check my emails, respond to whoever I need to, check voicemails, look at the logs from the night before, because I'm not here 24/7, but we have a lot of guys that work till 10, 11 o'clock at night on patrols, especially during the busy boating season. Check incident reports, any tickets or violations that were written, so on and so forth, and then whatever the plan for the day is, whatever we need to do. So, like, you know, you were on my calendar for today. I keep a Google calendar, like most department heads in the city, meetings, budget, finance, you know, things like this, general maintenance, scheduling, working with the deputy. So it's different every day, but it's good. I like the difference. I can't just do the same thing every day. That's why I like this job so much. So.
So we didn't get to this yet. This is a big thing for us. The municipal dock here. Have we talked about it in this podcast yet?
No, and no. I think you did a little bit in your last one.
We did. We've touched on it.
Yeah.
The facilities that are here. Can you talk about how the dock and what facilities are available to the public right now as you speak.
So,
and how it came to be.
Okay. So we have, that's like a two-part question. Yep. So the one's the Dakwa portion of it, where we have 28 transient moorings that we run through Dakwa. And those moorings, most of them are situated in the Inner Harbor right out here off the State Fish Pier. We have a couple in Smith Cove, a couple at 10 Pound Island, five or six over off Stagehead on the western side, and two off of Niles Beach. And those are all run through the Dakwa program, which is excellent, which we've already touched on, but I can't say enough good things about how good Dakwa works and runs and makes my life and this department's life so much easier. So we have those. And then we have a transient boating 4-hour short tour and tie-up facility out front here that you visited.
How many slips are there?
There's 160 feet of dockage, so it depends. If you you got two 60-foot boats, not very many, but generally it's 25 to the 30-foot boat range. It's a 4-hour tie-up for free. There is no overnight tie-up. We have some DPA regulations, some restrictions within the zoning that prevents us from allowing recreational boaters to tie up overnight. But it's a brand new facility.
And it has a huge, for people like Chris, it has an enormous rub rail kind of. So when you come in, you're coming in hot. You're not going to completely like demolish your boat.
Yeah, so they are concrete. Yeah. They're wave attenuating floats. It was specifically designed for this area, southwest wind prevailing in the summertime. So they're deep draft floats. They act as a wave break. We have a shoreside pump out facility that's funded through the Clean Vessel Act, so you can pump out sewage from your boat. We have a pump out boat. We have a shoreside facility that you can call the office and schedule a pump out for your boat. The 4-hour tie up is out there. Everything's ADA accessible. I know in your last podcast you said, "Wow, the gangway is like 5 feet wide." It's 5 feet wide because it's ADA accessible for a wheelchair.
Okay.
And that's why it's so long, because of the tidal spectrum here. It has to be 80 feet so it meets the proper, incline, and angle, so people with disabilities can use it, which people do.
You tell them tuck and roll.
It is really nice. It's nice, though. It's really nice and wide and very stable.
And it's like the sides on it. I mean, it's over. Like I would consider like the engineering on this thing.
Nice.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen on a dock. And it is so over engineered and overbuilt. You have to check it out.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's right out. We can take a look at it after the podcast is over. But it's also a public landing. So Steve Douglas, who just chimed in, he is the harbor tours. He does harbor tours. They use that for pickup drop off. A couple other Maritime Gloucester, the Ardell, they sometimes use it for pickup drop-off. It's where the launch is housed, the City of Gloucester, Gloucesterman launch that's run through this office. That's picks people up from transient moorings. And it not only is used for transient moorings, though. Anybody with a mooring permit, private citizens with mooring permits in the Inner Harbor, 10 Pound Island, or Southeast Harbor that have a mooring can spend $150 for a season pass, short money, and it'll bring them in and out to their mooring. So they don't have to have a dinghy. They don't have to have, try to figure out how they're going to get to and from.
Tremendous.
Dinghy spot availability is tough. We do have, city does own a couple of dinghy dock spots, but we do bring it back and forth from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. for $150 for the season. You and four people can take it. If it's an additional, it's $5 per person. Wow. But it'll take you to and from your mooring. Yeah. So it's an excellent service. It's never on the dock. The guy's out right now.
Yeah.
You can hail them on VHF channel 72. For a pickup, and there's also a phone number that's on the side of the launch. So
tremendous value.
It's a nice asset for the city and for mooring and boaters. So
it's incredible. So we talked about the dock part of it, but the Harbor Master's office is going to undergo some changes.
Yeah. So with the help of community development and Jill Cahill and a building committee team that the mayor's office and us we put together. We were successful in getting a grant from the Seaport Economic Council, the Governor's Council, and we received $1 million, which is a maximum award grant for a new Harbor Master facility. So for a bunch of stuff I won't bore you with, this building has to remain, but we're going to totally rehab and gut the entire thing. Tentatively, we'll start construction October 1st, and we hope to have the new facility open by Memorial Day of next year. Mm-hmm. So that's going to, we'll have a transient boating facility here, which is something Gloucester needs. It's been desperately missing. Other ports, comparable ports to our north and south, have these facilities, so we need to stay up with the times and get a facility like this. It'll have showers, locker room, laundry facilities. It'll be included with your transient boating reservation.
Wow.
So you'll be able to use that in addition to the launch. It'll also be open for the general public and Gloucester residents as well if they want to come down and tie up and use the facilities.
So how many times, Chris, are we like out on the thing there and one of the women on the boat has to go?
You gotta go. So we'll have not only the transient boating facilities, there will be public restrooms as well, in addition to, but separate to this building for Harbor Loop and boaters alike. So it's a big thing. You know, shout out to the mayor's office and the administration for seeing the vision with me in the community development for taking this on and really wanting to get, you know, Gloucester on the map. So there's been a huge transition over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's definitely been a positive thing. So
Are there any outside of Dakwa,
sure,
what ways is your office using technology to change the way this harbor is being managed?
So in addition to Dakwa, we had a company called Mooring Info, and they might be a kind of a slight competitor to you. I don't know if they do the transit stuff, but Mooring Info, they're not specific to transit boating. They're more of a Harbor Master software application. They allowed us to get all of our permitting online, as well as our logs, our daily logs, which are legal documents, pump out records, which go to the state because it's a federal grant. An alert feature that any other harbor master in the area that's on this system, if there's a boat that's stolen or if there's something to be on the lookout for or aids navigation discrepancy or anything like that, we can alert all the other harbor masters in the area or anyone else that's on the software. We had that program since last year. That's been a tremendous for not only the user or constituents or people that are using the software or permit key holders that used to get a piece of paper in the mail and write a check and send it back. Everything is, all our correspondence is through email now. Your permit comes to you in October. You can pay right online. You get your sticker in the mail. It's very efficient. Wow. It also has a mapping set of technology in it. So we had some assistant harbor masters here spend a tremendous amount of time surveying our 65 coastal miles and 18 mooring areas, 1,300 moorings, and getting all that data in latitudes and longitudes implemented into the system, so now we can map everything out. We know where everything is. Uh-huh. So for efficiency, we took 7 programs that were here before, from Microsoft Word to Excel to Lotus 1-2-3, which is I think is older than me, to be honest with you. So we took all 7 of these programs that were running the office and put them into one. And between that and Dakwa, it's a night and day difference. We're technologically advanced. It helps us with efficiency, which means we can grow. Because if you're not efficient, there's no room for growth. If you don't know what you have out there, how are you going to expand? So it's night and day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how often do you meet with other harbor masters to all get on the same page?
So I'm part of the North Shore Harbor Masters Association, which there's also the Mass Bay Harbor Masters Association. So we're broken up into a couple of chapters, and we all collectively meet a couple times a year. I've pitched Dakwa. I've done a little presentation. I don't get paid from you guys. I'll put that out there right now. I'm not an official spokesperson. I'm just a guy that runs a port with other guys that run ports, and I know how much, you know, the efficiency has helped our office. So I've shared that with these guys on a couple bases, as well as Mooring Info, because, you know, the job's tough. It's busy. So, you know, most of the time you're understaffed. So it's and the busier you get, you know, anything that can make your office more efficient or easier running on a day-to-day basis, we share.
Yeah.
So those are monthly meetings. We don't meet as much during the summertime because everyone's so busy. But I know Brian Pike now in Manchester, I think you just talked about it, has gotten on board. We talked with him extensively about Dakwa and Mooring Info. So we share.
Yeah.
We share what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, so it's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
The last question I have for you is, what would you like to see happen in this port that hasn't happened yet?
Oh, I would like to see the expansion of waterfront properties that are kind of stagnant expand and be able to be revived. And that's a very complex issue. And we do the best that we can with, you know, the tools and the rules that we have now. There's a lot of things that work against that. There's designated port area restrictions, there's marine industrial, there's city zoning, there's state rules, there's federal channels here, There's federal project areas that are underneath the Army Corps Engineers jurisdiction. It's a collaborative effort, but we're always looking for ways to try to make the yes, not the no. So I would like to see, as you're aware, there's a lot of waterfront properties in Gloucester Harbor that are dilapidated, not used to their full potential. And people want to come here. We have a commercial wait list for boats. There's every municipal marina has a mile-long wait list for people trying to get a slip. Dunfudgeon is the busiest boat ramp in the state of Massachusetts for a reason. It wouldn't be so busy if there was more slip opportunity available. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see the continued development of the waterfront.
When I used to go to the harbor plan meetings, and we, you know, talking to the state people because they were always there.
Sure.
And they would talk about how I should have wanted the designated port, because if you're in the designated port, you know, it affords you protections and there's all monies that are available. And I'm like, they couldn't have monies available for private property owners. And Gloucester Harbor is like a huge amount.
It's like 95%
privately owned. So we had this blanket overlay of designated port designation.
Which I believe your property is out of now.
Yeah, we're out of it now.
But it used to be in.
It used to be in.
Right. It's a very complex situation.
I guess my point is, if they're gonna, the places that are in it and having to live with this, then there should be monies been made available to them.
Point.
You know, they should, sure. Because like, that's what they say. You know,
yeah, if you're gonna impose a restriction by the government, there should be some kind of process in which
to mitigate.
I would agree with that for sure.
And just think, I mean, if the upside to that is that more boats will be coming in as opposed to cars.
How much money
do
we
spend? Much traffic.
How much
money? That is a thing. Actually, yeah. That is a thing. We're increasing. We are. That is a thing, and that the city is aware of. We are increasing tourism without jamming up the roads.
Right, the roads. Right.
And also,
we must have spent. So the reason this whole meeting came to be, and you came here, and Becky came here, was because of our experience at this municipal dock during Fiesta, the busiest boating day probably of the year.
Pretty much, right? Yeah, yeah.
So we pull up to the municipal dock, Chris and I on Chris's boat, because we wanted to get a bite to eat and a cup, and you know, have a libation or two. And so we pull up, four hour slot. We walk to Captain Carlo.
No charge.
Free. 4 hours. Walked over to Captain Carlo's, had a drink or two there, some lunch. Walked, because Beauport Hotel, the most beautiful hotel,
sure,
is walking distance, easily accessible.
All downtown, centrally located.
We must have dropped.
We went to Drift Cafe.
That's right. We must have dropped $175, $200 within that 4 hour time span.
Sure.
That goes into local people's pockets.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we didn't have to drive.
We didn't have to drive.
Probably Monday morning, I'm going to be publishing a blog post on. DACWA has two blogs. We have the boater blog, and then we have like a marina facing blog. And for the marina facing blog, the next blog post is on. We found a couple economic impact studies, and kind of like the state of Florida ran one study where it was actually like $176, like,
yeah,
on the money, the average boater will spend per night when they are going somewhere. And so it really behooves the local economy
there's definitely a major economic impact that was an untapped, you know, resource here 10 years ago for transient recreational boating. And it's not just true transients that are coming. I mean, we have people come from across the pond from England that pull into here in New Zealand and all these places, but it's the locals that, you know, that are coming in and using these facilities and going downtown or our neighboring towns. Like, I often in the summertime take my boat and drive up to Newburyport. It's a 40-minute ride. It's a nice ride. I go up there, grab a couple $100 in fuel and dinner, and I come back. And more people are doing that. Like I said before, it's a $115 billion a year industry. Yeah. And I believe Boat US published, I think, a few years ago, that it was between $150 and $200 a night that each transient boater spends. Mm-hmm. So into the local economy, shops, downtown, fuel. We also have another aspect here of marine railways. We have Roses and we have the Gloucester Marine Railway, where people come from all over to use these facilities because they're getting less and less across the eastern seaboard. So we have people come from all the way from northern Maine and Canada sometimes to haul their boats out in Gloucester. Yeah. So it's big business. You know, transient boating, recreational boating is huge business. Wow. So for a city and municipality and local governments and private property and business owners, there's a big impact for sure. So,
Sapathia just sent me a Facebook message. Blinman Bridge is stuck in the up position right now.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Not a problem for boaters, not a problem for me, but definitely a problem for first responders on
and
land.
It's going to be in the up position for the entire weekend.
No, stop that. That's a joke.
Strike that
for the record.
Whoa. Yeah.
Becky, thank you for coming up for
That's
us.
That's a problem.
TJ.
It's okay.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks. I appreciate you guys coming. I'm glad that you guys came.
Because our friend Ralph DiGiorgio, who has a boat in Gloucester, ties up at Cape Ann Marina. Okay. He's using dock, but right now he's going to Kittery. Yeah. He would have been with us as he's a big dock fan as well.
Awesome.
So shout out to Ralph. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to...